This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 270 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I'm sorry, I can't talk to you, Bruce. I'm far too important and special now.
Oh, why is that?
Well, we made a list.
Who did?
We did.
Oh.
Me and you.
Yes. That's right.
We made the top 16 most interesting photography podcasts, and that makes me far too important.
Yeah, and I think we were about 17th on the list, weren't
we? Well, as I always like to say, if you make any list long enough, eventually you'll find me.
That's right.
My philosophy. Top 16, how's that?
Yes.
Hey, what a very bizarre. You know, I think I'll find the top 32 of this today.
Yeah.
So that's my usual way of going about things.
Yeah.
We're the top 16 in the top. We actually came at, I think, not that they were in any order.
We were about 7th or 8th, I think.
He said not in any order, so he could have meant 17th.
Yeah.
that's pretty special.
Yeah.
We had a couple of people send that through to us.
A few people. I think Dave Fogham was one. I can't remember.
Dave did, that's right. Yeah. And not Dave did as well.
Right, yes. So thank you for alerting us to that.
They said we might break our glass ceiling. That was of getting to, you know, possibly approaching somewhere in the region of double figures.
Wow.
Triple figles. No, that's not, it's going crazy. but there's a good chance
that
numbers are going to increase. George Georgiadis was also the lovely
right.
man who let us know. So Double G, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
I don't know if anyone calls him Double G, but when your mum calls you George and your surname's George, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, what if he was a boy? Was he Boy George Georgiadis? That would have been bad, wouldn't it? Yeah, he would have copped it at school. Like Glyn as a boy in school. That doesn't really augur well for a good educational experience. Glyn Lavender, Valley of Flowers. Bash, bash, bash. So how was school today, honey? Once the swelling goes down, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, how have you been, my friend? Good?
Really well. Thank you.
Just apologize to our listeners for last week.
Yep.
At the last minute we were about to record, my young daughter came down with a stomach illness and the missus was out. How dare she?
Right.
She wasn't out even buying me stuff. She was just out for herself. And so I had to be what I used to call daddy daycare, but just I had to look after the poor sick little wee Miss 3.0. So
yep.
That stuff happens, but as I was saying to Bruce just off air before we recorded, 10 minutes before we started recording tonight, my 7-year-old said, Daddy, my stomach feels a bit funny. And I said, go talk to your mum. So we're good.
Oh, dear. So what have you been up to in the last 2 weeks?
Not a great deal. I think I must have been having a bit of a slack couple, but I've had a bit of fun. I did a fabulous nude workshop last Friday night.
Right.
Fabulous, and I enjoyed myself, but as I tend to always do when I'm photographing girls with no clothes on.
Yep.
And being paid for it, which is always added bonus. No, it was fabulous. I worked with an incredibly wonderful Ashley again, who she of the great Egyptian-looking face,
right.
But also who lights incredibly well.
Right.
And other than the slight mishap of one of my lights blowing up and exploding a burning hot shards of glass over the top of her, and setting the backdrop and the backdrop bag on fire.
Whoa!
In about 8 places.
Oh, jeez.
Other than that, it was a seamless event. That happened in the first 2 minutes of a couple of hours. That's not bad.
Wow!
And the bag that holds the backdrops, and the flames have been a good 8 or 10 inches high. By the time I'm realizing, the glass actually fired behind the backdrop. And it was on fire behind it, so I couldn't actually see it.
Geez.
So when I walked, oh my God.
Crikey.
So that was a bit challenging.
Yeah.
But we got some stunning shots, some just absolute fabulous shots.
Saw a couple that you put on Facebook.
Yeah, and you know, it's like you can't put anything proper on Facebook, but all the a whole range of stuff on my Facebook wall, as per usual.
Yeah.
But just, once again, this is what I love about the nude workshop, straight out of camera.
Yep.
Incredible, fabulous photographs. Nothing needs doing. No fixing highlights, no bringing back in details, no sharpening. Everyone has to shoot in high contrast black and white, so there's not even any conversion. It's just bang, done. Job
right.
done.
Yep.
So that was pretty fabulous. We really enjoyed that.
Cool.
And so that was really good.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your Flickr feed now. There's
a couple in there, and I had to go get some cash out of the old ATM machine, anyway, the ATM to pay the model for the night. It was peddling it down with rain,
right?
And so there was only one car parking spot left in the street, and I pulled it outside the front of this vintage clothing shop,
right?
And they had a $5 rack out the front,
Which
I had to cruise. And I found this lovely silk dressing gown, Japanesey style dressing gown,
like a kimono.
Kimono-ish type of thing.
Okay.
This is a shot on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, the red and gold.
$65 down to $5.
Nice.
And it was actually a little bit fleece-lined inside because it was like 3 degrees when we were doing the work. So it didn't hurt to keep it a little bit warm as well.
For sure.
But just some cracking lighting. And the ones that didn't blow up were fantastic.
Yep.
And... So that once again, just love running that workshop just because the lessons in learning and seeing light and shadow play and just power stuff.
Excellent.
And then, not something I ever really talk about ever, and not in many people would know. I suffer a bit from depression. The last couple of weeks I've been pretty flat. I've been pretty down, pretty low and sort of, yeah, not yeah. That's the problem of being at home by yourself a lot. You tend to get into your own brain a bit too much anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
So yesterday I said, I was really struggling yesterday. I was having a real hard day. I said, well, that's it. I'm gonna drag my poor kid out for a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Just to get my brain doing something positive and something creative. So I made it put on one of my prop dresses from my full adult size workshops, a red dress, and we went out with flashes into the slightly drizzly weather and took some shots because I wanted to try this technique of taking a normal size dress and enlarging it in Photoshop,
right,
to make it this big massive flowing dress. And I did it. Yeah. So and basically, what it is, you take a photograph of the person with the normal clothing on, and then you flap same colour fabric, or in this case, we flapped the dress in the air and took photos just of the dress itself flying in the wind.
Right.
And all the different shapes and stuff you get from just the dress and merge them all together into one big dress.
That sounds like way too much effort for you.
Well, you know, the thing is, I needed something I had to put a bit of effort into.
Right.
I need something that can get my brain stuck into it. Plus, it's always nice to try new stuff, you know?
Yeah. It came out looking great.
Promise, I'm crap at Photoshop, so the dress thing, trying to make it look any good was pretty hard. Because the 5-minute YouTube video I watched with no instructions on how they did it looked pretty easy.
Yeah, right.
It was sped up. Took them 3.5 hours, apparently. And,
right.
you know, I don't think I've ever spent any more than 10 minutes on any photo in my life, so this one was popped and done in about 10 minutes flat.
Right.
And I think I was pretty much setting a record with that one as it was.
Yeah.
But I did a reasonable job.
Yeah, looked good.
And so that was just a yeah. I think that sometimes when we are all battling, whatever, yeah. If we're just a bit flat, we're a bit tired, we're a bit emotional, a bit lacking of inspiration for our photos. Just go and push yourself to do something new, something that you've never done before. Challenge yourself. Of course, if you're a bit depressive and then the new shoot goes really badly, it's not going to help too much. Something, try anything too beyond your limits. but that was pretty good. So
excellent. Had
fun with that. And I took some really important family photos the other day.
Oh, okay.
Kids' first trip to the snow.
Oh, nice.
Took the girls up last Friday, the day of the nude workshop.
Yeah.
It snowed down to 400 meters around here. So it snowed.
What?
It was bitterly cold.
Wow.
I ran two workshops that day. A how to use your camera workshop during the day. Now I don't feel the cold, so I'm walking around in short sleeves. You know? It was like 5 degrees. All the customers had like 14 layers of clothes on, were freezing.
Yeah,
you know? Just no stamina. Some people. And then come the nighttime one, the poor girl into nudes. You know, I put as much heat as I had on, but she was still pretty cold.
Yeah, I'll bet.
We had sort of incredibly bleak weather. So it snowed a hell of a lot on Friday.
Yeah.
And they said it was possibly the worst Saturday. So I said, right, yeah, we'll go to the local hills, mm-hmm. with the kids,
mm-hmm.
and see some snow for the first time. And we woke up to blazing blue sky, sun.
But we had to drive 8 hours to Bright.
40 minutes from home where the nearest snow was.
Oh, okay.
And we took about that. We've got these little tiny remnants of snow that were just hither and thither around the sides of the roads. But what was great was we went past the old film set where I do my casting call workshops.
Yep.
It was all covered in snow.
Oh, nice.
The old township was in snow, the hillsides, the horses were in snow. Oh, so it was pretty cool. Unfortunately, Nola, the lady who runs it, wasn't there. It was all locked up, so I couldn't get on inside. But, I know. What's the chance of that ever happening again?
Yeah.
That was my couple of weeks anyway.
Excellent.
Yeah. Now, you're getting all excited for your upcoming
journey? Yes. So this will be the last episode before Adam and myself head off on the kidney car rally.
That's right. It's not because the cars make your kidneys bad. That's right.
So
hard dirt roads.
Yeah. So the last week or so, I've been slowly going to places like Super Cheap Auto and buying bits and pieces that I need for the rally, and I got some magnets made up that say BruceWilliamsPhotography.com to put on the car.
At Super Cheap Auto.
No, not at Super Cheap Auto.
Oh, those magnets.
No. got a couple of magnets made up. That's all just 1 week away now. This time next week, Adam and I will both be in Gundagai, and Friday morning it'll be scrutineering of the vehicles. Ooh. And then afternoon will be, I think, just everybody getting to know everybody, and then Saturday morning will be the first.
I love that you just keep going on
actual stage.
With what? Everything I'm saying to you, just go straight.
Yeah. I'm completely ignoring you.
Power on through. Song, you just kept on going.
That's right.
They're scrutineering, did you say?
Yes.
Is that like scrutinizing, but like with more of a mountaineering sort of feel?
Yeah. So basically, every car. Yeah. Has to meet a certain minimum standard in terms of you've got to have a fire extinguisher, you've got to have a medical kit, you've got to have a four-wheel drive snatch strap, you've got to have safety triangle. There's all different bits and pieces that you've got to have. You've got to have your rotating amber light on the roof.
Really?
Yeah, so all this stuff has to be checked to make sure that you're carrying everything that they say you've got to carry. And if you're not carrying it, then you've got to do something about it before you head off on the first stage on the Saturday morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Funny about that, hey?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's all happening.
And how long are you going to be away for? 2 weeks?
About 10 days. So essentially the first stage of the actual rally will be on the Saturday morning, and we will finish the following Saturday. And then on the Sunday, drive home. So, there'll be 2 weeks where there won't be a podcast.
Oh, sorry, people. I know. You know, there's a chance we'll fall out of the top 16 if we keep this sort of bad efforts up, dude, of not enough podcasts.
We might rate higher.
So, I've got an idea, Bruce.
Yeah.
We're going to be off for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
How about we do two or three quick little 5 minutes? Little quick, short little tasters of podcast that we can time release over the next couple of weeks. That way, when we normally would have something out, we've still got something out, and people can understand what they're normally doing to waste their Sundays, but they don't have to waste quite as much of it. They can only waste 5 minutes rather than wasting the full hour.
Right.
And tell you what, we won't charge any less for it.
Or any more.
Well... So no 5 minute podcast. Sorry, people, I tried. You know, but the boss overruled. What can you do? You know? Can't fight City Hall. That's all I'm saying.
So anyway,
so that's gonna be awesome for you, dude. Anyway, I'm looking forward to some photos.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm gonna. I don't think I'm gonna be able to post anything on social media while the event is underway. I haven't actually broached that subject.
You would have thought any sort of promotion for a charity rally would be welcomed, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah.
And if every photo you put up had also had a link to where people could donate,
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of a way if you could approach to them if there was any sort of, And you could say, look, I'm just trying to, you know, generate some dollars for you guys. You know, yep. Stick up your, you know, anyway, I'll leave that to you and your negotiating skills. But,
anyway.
But also there might be time. You might be a little bit too tired to be doing any of that.
Well, that's the other side of it too. I mean, our days are going to be chock-a-block. We're basically up at, you know, 6 o'clock every morning to be on the road by 7.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we're not only shooting the cars through the day as well as media engagements for the promotional team that's traveling along with the rally.
Yeah.
But then also covering the social events in the evening, which, you know, generally go through till, you know, 10 o'clock every night. So, yeah, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of time for fraternizing.
Maybe a few selfies from your phone.
Yeah.
Might be about the extent of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Oh, so you should. That's your adventure of the year, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Forget that crappy holiday you just had.
That's
some real fun. Because you haven't got the wife and kid with you this time, you know?
No, I don't. That's correct.
That's why you're going to enjoy it. So no. No. Oh, you know, I'm only being serious. So what have you come across this last month and a half since we last recorded?
Yeah, well, I know everyone's sick of hearing me rabbit on about the Sony A7S.
Oh, more?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Of course you are. Well, now you'll be even more sick of it.
I think it stands for
Sony
A7 sick of it. That's what it stands for.
Well, there's a new video out where they've really concentrated on the low light capabilities of this camera and shot some video of, in this internet age, what else but cats.
Oh, perfect.
Cats in darkness.
What are they riding? Riding like little cars, like push bike, skateboard.
No, furniture mostly.
Unless it's drinking out of the toilet or riding some sort of small vehicle, it's never going to catch on as a video.
That's right. But what is interesting is just how clean the video is, and you can tell that it's shot in almost pure darkness because the cat's eyes are completely dilated. They're not the slits that you would normally see during daylight hours.
Like its eyes pop open.
What?
Injection of something special to make his eyes pop open. It wasn't dark. It'll trick everyone. It could be Photoshopped.
Could be Photoshopped.
You know, that's right. Just as an aside,
yeah.
A very common trick in the political photos of politicians is to enlarge the pupil size.
Yeah, right.
And that's deadly serious.
Yeah.
Because it's been proven that people trust people with wider open pupils than with small pupils.
Yeah.
How weird's that, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a odd. Yeah. So it's a cat.
Yeah.
What's it doing? Anything exciting? Just playing
there. It's not about the cats.
Is it?
No. Anyway, link will be in the show notes for anyone that cares. another link I came across was the 5 most expensive photographs ever sold.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Well.
No, not. I didn't say the photos would be interesting, dude. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Interesting story.
If it's the most expensive photo, if they're showing the one that I've seen before that was supposed to be the most expensive, it's like, really? I've got 47 of those. No, that's it. That's the one there.
That's it.
47 of those.
Yeah.
This thing sold for $4,338,500.
Yeah.
So it's obviously an auction.
Well, the interesting thing is that guy, Andreas Gursky Ryan II, features twice in the top 5. Which says to me the guy really knows how to market himself.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. I've got bunches of photos like the number one. I want to find the underbidder, the guy who bid for $4,338,000 even.
Yeah.
Could have done by $500.
Yeah.
Yeah? And why is it going up in $500 increments?
I've just realized his name is Andreas Gursky and the image is called Ryan 2 from 1999. But really? $4.3 million for that?
And he got 3.3 for the other one. He doesn't have to take another photo in his life, does he?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And look at the other photo.
I know.
Who the hell would pay $3.3 million for that?
Well, if it's Cindy, if it's the person in the photo and they don't want anyone to see it.
Yeah.
And if you're rich, you can maybe pony up the cash, but it's already out there. People are seeing it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's pretty shocking, isn't it?
But they all are. They're all average.
Well, they are. Yeah, they are average, you're right.
I'm sorry, but...
No, I agree. I concur. I What? I'm just looking at the war ones.
The only one that strikes me as being remotely interesting is the one that came in at number 5, The Pond Moonlight. The others just look like snapshots.
Yeah, yeah. The Pond Moonlight was pretty, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of Monet
it's,
about
it's
it.
It's different. Yeah, exactly. It's got some character. It's got some mood.
Yeah. The rest, I don't know. But I've seen that a couple of them before, and it's like, yeah, really?
Yeah. So, like, yeah, obviously, you know, the guy just really knows how to market his work.
Just jealous.
Yeah, I totally jealous. Good on him.
Yes.
Got $7.5 million bucks for 2 crap images. Good on him.
Get a good photo.
Hey?
Yeah. Imagine what you'd get if you had a good photo.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Exactly. Okay. Anyway, so again, that link will be in the show notes for those who want to look at the awesomeness. Another one that I came across was a person who's, or a photographer who's put this portfolio together of their people portraits, but she paints the people with brush strokes so that when she photographs them, it looks like they are a painting.
Right.
This is the aplus.com link, if you follow the link.
Get them now. I'm just trying to figure them out.
Yeah. So she paints these people so that when she photographs them, they look like they're a painting. It's really trippy.
And they're painted in real life?
Yes. She's painted on their skin so that they look like an oil painting when she photographs them.
Hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
It's clever.
It's clever. Yes. I mean, it's so surreal. It's hard to. It either looks like really bad painting, like bad Photoshop.
Yeah, well, it's like impressionist style painting.
It's like, but especially the guy standing in the train set, it looks so bad. But when you actually zoom in and realize what they've done, it's very clever.
Yeah.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah.
Bad one at all.
Well, it was one of those things that when I saw it, it made me think of you and your, hate people that are creative. And because it's just a great, it's an out there concept.
You know what, we think about people like that. I wish you'd stop bringing them up, Bruce. All the rest of the listeners showing us up.
Yeah. The next one I came across was on petapixel.com, and this was a guy who's based in Singapore. Who liked the idea of shooting the Milky Way and star trails and the like, but Singapore is this tiny little island that is massively lit. So there's absolutely nowhere that you can go in Singapore and get a dark sky, not like you can find in the middle of Australia. And so he put a bit of an explanation together as to how he managed to get Milky Way photographs from on Singapore, you know, where it's always, light polluted to the max. I thought I'll
that's
just...
very cool.
Yeah. So,
that's very, very cool.
For anyone who's interested in shooting dark sky stuff but feel like you can't do it because you're in a place where there's too much light pollution, check that link out. And,
For the first time in the history of our podcast...
Yeah.
I've actually gone and bookmark that link.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not going to look at it again in the future, I'm sure. But my theory is one day I'm going to look at that and do it, because I mean, I'd love a bit of star shooting. I never do it, which is probably why I won't look at the link.
Yeah.
But the theory is it's a great technique. Okay? It's fabulous.
The next one was one that popped up today, and it sort of went a little bit viral, so probably a bunch of you have already seen it. It's the video on how to clean the sensor on your Canon 5D Mark II.
Yeah.
did you watch this?
I think it lets you work with any Canon camera, actually. It doesn't have to be just a Mark II.
Right.
Yeah, just to clarify that. We don't want anyone to think they can't do it for their camera.
Yeah, sure. a bit of hilarity, well worth a look. So again,
have a look at that one.
Link will be in the show notes. The last thing that I wanted to mention was congratulations to Mike the Gold Hog Holman.
I'm glad you brought it up because it was going to sicken me if I had to.
Yeah, for being awarded New Zealand Travel Photographer of the Year for 2014 and New Zealand Commercial Photographer of the Year for 2014. So, Mike, well done.
That you arsey bastard.
Yeah. He's awesome. So
no, we're not jealous at all. And congratulations, dude.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is, if he wasn't such a bloody lovely guy, you'd hate him.
Oh, you would. You would. Yeah, you'd throw rocks at him.
Oh. Big ones. Big ones. Yeah. No, it's good on you, Mike.
Yeah, well done, Mike.
Yeah, I say that with, just a little bit of pain. Mind you, it's a bit like winning the lotto for me.
What's that?
Well, I'll never win Photographer of the Year awards.
Right.
I'll never win commercial photography. I'll certainly never win travel or any portrait prize.
I wouldn't count yourself out on the portrait side of things.
No, I wouldn't. No, because I never enter.
Well, that's a little bit of an impediment.
I'm never going to win the lotto either, but I don't enter them.
That's a slight speed hump.
I don't know why they weren't giving these damn prizes. I shouldn't have to enter. They should just give them to me. Anyway. Or, best of the not entered. How's that? every awards. Good on you, Mike. As always, frankly, I've got to be totally honest. I'm a bit peeved at the NZIPP.
Right.
That's the New Zealand Institute of Visual Photographers.
Yeah.
They should make him bloody Photographer of the Year. Forget about this commercial and travel stuff.
Yeah.
He's won those awards pretty much every year for the last couple of years.
Right.
For that sort of consistency, that makes Mike, to me, you're my Photographer of the Year, dude.
Well, it does make you wonder, what are they looking for the Photographer of the Year that's not covered by your ability as a commercial photographer and a travel photographer?
Weddings.
Does it automatically go to the Wedding Photographer of the Year, or what's the story?
Product, I don't know. But I'm going to say, Mike, you're my Photographer of the Year. So I'm going to dedicate the rest of 2014 to the International Year of Mike.
Right. Fair enough.
That's it.
Excellent.
Anyway.
Excellent. So what have you got on your list?
Well, Photo of the Week.
Yeah.
Decided to put up. For me, the Photo of the Week was in the newspaper this morning,
Right.
The Rosetta spaceship has just got into orbit around a comet, 400 million kilometres from Earth.
Wow.
For the first time in the history of every space photo ever taken, they've got a photograph of the nucleus of a comet.
Wow.
Fabulous stuff. And they found a face on it, of course, didn't they?
Of course they did.
There's a face and some pyramids, apparently.
Right.
But, yeah, so they're actually going to land on it later this year.
Wow.
Landing on this comet in November.
And where is this?
400 million kilometres from Earth.
Okay, so it'd be inside the solar system.
Oh, yeah, well inside.
Right.
Well. But it's taken them 10 years to get there.
Wow.
And they've had to slingshot their spaceship around Earth and Mars three times.
Yeah, right.
Three times, swinging it to build up the speed and fling it out there to catch up with it.
That's insane.
So just a phenomenal in itself that he can do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But then the photo is fab. It's because I'm a star nut.
Right.
So that to me was they say there's nothing new in photography.
Yeah.
Well, that is.
Yeah, that is.
You know what I mean? That's never been done before. That's a first.
It boggles the mind to think that the technology is that great that we can predict where a comet will be 10 years before it gets there.
Yeah.
And then actually be able to send someone out to meet it.
Well, there's not someone.
No, I know it's not someone, but it's something.
The next step is to send someone to an asteroid. The next one's to send someone to an asteroid, as we said the other week, with the spaceship. So, pretty amazing. So that to me, that's definitely a photo worthwhile having the gander at.
Yeah.
And then also in the same newspaper today.
Yeah.
In their travel section, I came across this incredible underground salt mine in Romania that's been turned into a sort of theme park.
Right.
I've got to tell you, this thing is just phenomenal. The photo opportunities inside this place are unbelievable. It's just mind-boggling.
So this is underground?
Underground, yeah.
Wow.
Underground salt mine.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That's trippy.
There's some great shots and there's some pretty cool stuff down there to photograph.
And they've built a mini golf course?
As you would, wouldn't you?
Excellent.
Well, good. Convert it to something interesting.
Love the long walk to the entrance of the mine.
Is that fabulous?
That is. That's like something out of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Or what was the what was the back in time show? The one that had the
There's been a couple
that you people you'd step into and you'd spin down the
The black and white little rotation.
Yeah. What was that? Whatever that show. Yeah. That's what that reminds me of.
We're both showing our age there, you know. But that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now another thing I want to talk about. And young Adam Davidson, our reporter at large, put up a thing on our Facebook this week about what happens when a supermodel violates your copyright.
I didn't get to see that. What was it about?
Well, it's about the supermodel who violated this guy's copyright.
Oh, I never would have guessed that.
I succinctive it for you. Right, yeah. And it was about this photographer who was doing behind-the-scenes shots at a fashion show.
Right.
And captured some photographer, some model, coming taking a selfie.
Okay.
So it's a shot over the phone, but this model then grabbed that photo and used it for herself without any appropriation.
Right.
And then that one became viral. It got used by all these magazines and all these things. And this woman's constantly chasing down all these people using it, trying to get usage royalties and actually notification that it was her photograph and all this sort of stuff.
Right.
But I'll let people read it if they're interested, because it's a moderately interesting thing. But here's the thing that just got my goat about this girl. Yeah,
right.
And she does stuff for Oscar De La Renta and stuff. But so she in her long ranting post, she wrote this, and I've only got this one little bit. I consider giving up photography indefinitely, or at least blogging about it. What? That's not an extreme variation, is it? Completely giving something out or writing a few words down on a computer. Girl, give up photography.
Yeah, okay.
How about that? Give it up. Because it obviously means that much to you that blogging about it is either as painful or as fulfilling. And if it's as fulfilling, do that. Oh, good. That was the salient bit of information I pulled out of that.
Right. I'll have to read that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And then I came across this fascinating thing on copyright about this photographer, this English photographer,
right,
who had a monkey grab one of his cameras.
Right.
And took hundreds of selfies, photos of several of the monkeys in its troop. Right.
Right. Intentionally?
Well, I think they were just playing around with it, but he got some cracking shots.
Right.
Some absolutely cracking shots. have you got the link there?
I'm looking at the one with the bared teeth.
Yeah. But how's this, though? Wikimedia, which is a online royalty-free website.
Yep.
Refused to take down the image. They put the images up there to be free to use for everyone, even though it's not their photo.
Right.
Because they say the photographer, doesn't have copyright ownership of the photos.
Ooh. Okay.
Who took the photo?
Yeah, that's a grey one, that one.
The monkey took
that's
the photo.
That's as grey as the monkey.
Isn't that just?
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. So we're talking about copyright with a supermodel. There's a monkey. No, there wasn't a monkey. delete that bit out for us. But how's that? So who owns the copyright? Yeah,
that's a curly one for sure.
So I pull this paragraph out. To claim copyright, the photographer would have to have made substantial contributions to the final image. And even then, they'd only have copyright for the alterations they did in Photoshop, not the underlying image.
Wow.
That means that there was no one on whom to bestow copyright, so the image falls into the public domain. That's what Wikimedia say. So how? So here, look, tip for all you photographers out there, don't let monkeys steal your cameras. Pretty simple. Or if you do, be prepared to give up the photos.
Happens to me every week.
It's a fascinating little.
You can understand the position of the photographer. He would be feeling supremely ripped off.
Yeah, and he says he only gets a couple of images a year that help pay for his expenses in his life.
Yeah.
And this is one of them, a series of them.
Yeah.
And he's getting nothing. He's getting nothing.
That's harsh.
Yeah, so. Anyway, I thought that was very, 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 very interesting.
That's hilarious.
Now, remember a few weeks ago, we talked about Detroit And this group that were going around surveying Detroit's blocks of land to see how many of them are abandoned, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
No, he says, but we did.
Okay.
For people who actually listen to the podcast, Bruce, they'll remember it.
Yeah.
Well, they've finished the report. Right. So out of the 380,000 blocks of land in Detroit, 78,506 are what they call blighted properties.
How many?
78,506.
Whoa.
So nearly 21%, one in five.
That's crazy.
Houses on any street are abandoned, ruined. One in five businesses.
Wow.
One in five factories. One in five everything, effectively.
Wow.
So I've actually got to the website where they where all the stats are there and it's showing what they're going to do about it, how they're going to try and arrest this problem and, yeah, bring things back, which is amazing. So, but if you wanted to go photograph some abandoned stuff, Detroit's the place to be by the looks of it. Detroit,
wow.
Rock bottom city.
That's just crazy.
So that's interesting. Time to end the blight.org. Then I came across this thing today, and I think it was, I can't remember whose website it was, just proving how crazy the world of photography is as far as the manufacturers go.
Okay.
If I was to say, name the most popular video camera in the world, Bruce.
JVC.
Hmm.
Okay. I don't know. What?
What's the most popular video camera in the world, Bruce? Starts with a go and ends in pro.
Oh, right. Right. Sorry, mate.
What's the most popular video camera in the world, Bruce?
Oh, that'd be a GoPro.
How'd you get that so quickly? exactly.
I have my finger on the pulse, mate.
It is ubiquitous. It is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Every Tom, Dick, and Larry's using them, right?
Yeah.
Companies are scrambling to try and catch. Are these things cheap or expensive, Bruce?
Oh, depends on your definition of cheap or expensive. I think they're around about $300 each.
About $400 roughly,
okay.
In Australia.
Yep.
But you can buy pretty much exactly the same thing out of the same factory for $85.
Right.
Okay, so you're paying
under a different brand name, obviously.
Yeah, $300 for marketing, effectively.
Yeah, right.
So it's not a cheap little camera. They're pretty, and all the accessories and everything else. You can see how much that looks like Red Bull, how much money they're spending on marketing and all this. They're a huge, massive growth company, right?
Yep.
You would think. Except, they lost nigh on $20 million for the second quarter, following $5.1 million last year.
Loss.
The most popular, the camera everybody wants to have, that everyone's itching to get their hands on, plus buy all the accessories, and they can't make a buck.
Well, that's probably because they give away everything that they have all the time. Adam Davidson picked up one of every single product they make.
Well, that was $19.8 million worth. That's at least four Adam Davidsons for that.
No, but they do this giveaway like every week. But I just I can't fathom how they could be running at a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're just paying way too much for their advertising, because everywhere you look.
How stupid people are in this industry, that you've got the hottest product selling by the gazillions, that everybody wants one, and they're still not making any money?
That's crazy.
It doesn't all go well for the rest of the industry, does it?
No.
So that was a bit crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
Now, we've been reporting the last few weeks, Bruce. We've been reporting the last few weeks on the top 10 DP Review most viewed cameras list.
Right.
Well, pleased to say, after a hiatus of about a month, Canon made it back into the top 10.
Woohoo!
But get this.
Yeah.
With the Canon 7D.
What? Isn't has that been out since Noah was a boy?
It's got to be 5 years.
Yeah.
That somehow, because there's always rumors about the 7D Mark II coming. So I'm thinking people must be sort of cross-referencing rumors with what's currently, who knows what's going on. But Canon, good on you, dudes. You crept back in.
Wow.
But Photo Keen is coming soon. So it's going to be.
Right.
It's going to be all out. Everyone's going to be announcing all the new stuff soon. So Canon lovers, hang on, hang in there. It's all coming back. It's going to come back. It'll be okay. Then. Now, I'm sponsored by a company called Lastolite.
Yes. Okay?
Reflectors, background, stuff like that. Well, I just saw today their latest backdrops.
Right.
and the out of focus bokeh backgrounds.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Really? Is it that important to have out of focus circles in the back of your photo? You've got to make fake backgrounds that show it?
Well.
Mr. Last Light, if you're listening, send me one of none of them, please. I'd like one each of none of them.
Well, maybe it's because
I'm a Londoner that I love
people London. Are shooting
themselves in the head. Did you see the guy this week that was doing risky selfies?
I did. With a gun to his head. That was awesome.
I'm an idiot. The Darwin Awards win again.
Yep, that's it. That's exactly what very similar to what I said when I saw it.
The Darwin Awards win again.
Darwin Awards are alive and well, pun intended.
I've got a little something for our mate Reg Vardy, who's been struggling a bit with the keeping this passion for photography going.
Yeah.
And there's a link I've put in there, Reg, I insist. Go look at the link. It's the secret to keeping your passion for photography alive.
Right.
Put a little, what a load of codswallop at the end of it. Right. But where the one benefit of this article was, at the bottom of it, there's a link to where to sell your secondhand or your old camera gear. So if this article down the bottom, sell your old camera gear. I don't know if it's deliberate, but under their helpful links,
yep, sell your old camera gear.
Okay, that's a classic. And I did mention that Reg comes from the back end of nowhere.
Yeah. Perth, yeah.
Perth, and the most isolated city in the world. Well, he fired back. He fired back.
Good.
That it's not the most isolated. It's a lie, basically.
Yeah.
But he came back saying that Auckland, New Zealand, was the most isolated. But I say, look, it depends what your definition of the most isolated is.
Yeah.
Because to me, you've got Wellington.
And Christchurch.
You've got Christchurch, not that far away.
Yeah. You know?
And they both have at least 10% of the country's population in them. So to me, that's a city. I'm sorry. So yeah. Reg, Auckland, off the map. But I will give him Honolulu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It beats Perth by a couple hundred miles.
Right.
Most isolated.
As in distance to another densely populated city.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll doff me cap to you, dude.
Right.
It's been doffed. And, but still, Perth, you know, come on, really? it's a lovely city. Some of my wife's family lives over there. They're lovely people.
Yeah.
Considering. And my last but not least, now this is kind of off topic.
Right.
But I thought it interesting, and I don't know why, and I'm not even sure why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
But it's kind of geeky, and it's kind of tech, and it's kind of nerdy. And let's face it, we're all a bit that way. It was about SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a way of thinking coming out at the moment. They've been searching the entire time the wrong way.
Right.
Looking for intelligent from in space.
Yeah, well, essentially the way it works at the moment is that we scan the heavens in search of radio signals.
Exactly. And that's where the problem lies.
Right. And so what's the new thinking?
Well, the thing is, how is most media accessed these days? Radio or digital?
Digital.
So
anyone that's going to broadcast will broadcast in a digital format.
And there'll also be the period of time in our technological age where radio was dominant was very, very short.
Yes.
So what we're looking for is a needle in a haystack, inside a needle in a haystack, looking for this very small period of time when a civilization would have used radio as its prime method of communication.
Yeah.
And they're now saying they're going to try and find a way of searching for digital signals.
It strikes me like this is the first I've heard of this, but it would seem to me that the best way to transmit binary data would be via light pulses.
Well, there you go.
So maybe we need to be looking for, you know, lights that are flickering on and off at, you know, some sort of identifiable, period. But then it comes down to what language is that coming in, you know, because they're not going to speak English.
No, that's it's ones and zeros. That'd be easy.
Yeah, but what do those ones and zeros convert to, though?
Oh, probably megapixels. And what we do, we download the whole lot, and what we get is their TV shows.
Right.
Yeah, and I Love Lucy would be the first thing that comes up, I bet you. But it's interesting. I just thought it was interesting in how we're transitioning technologically and how that could change your thinking about an entire way of approaching some other weird and sort of esoteric search. Yeah. So I just thought it was fascinating. It's a fascinating leap and change of mindset.
Yep.
Which piqued my interest. Mm-hmm. Being the geeky, nerdy, dorky kind of kid that I am, it doesn't really surprise me. But I just thought I'd bring that up because I thought, yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very interested in the idea that there is extraterrestrial life out there somewhere.
All I can say is, in the words of Eric Idle, just pray that there's intelligent life somewhere out in space. Just as bugger all down here. Yeah. that's a classic song, that one. But law of averages. But yeah, we shouldn't get that. That can become a
little. Well, and you're familiar with the Drake equation?
Charlie Drake, the English comedian?
No. Can't remember his first name.
Francis Drake, the guy who went looking for and finding.
I don't think it was him either. Drake was an astronomer in the late 60s, I think, and he came up with this hypothesis that there are, you know, something like 6 × 10²³ number of stars in the Milky Way galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's 6 × 10²⁴, but no, we'll let him off.
Okay.
It was the 60s.
So anyway, and then basically he said, let's assume that out of all of those stars, only 1 in 1,000,000 of them has a planetary solar system rotating around the star.
Yeah.
So if that's 1 in 1,000,000, that's 6 orders of magnitude. So that brings it back to 6 × 10⁻¹⁸.
Yes.
Number of stars with a planetary system around them. Let's assume that only 1 out of 1,000,000 of those has a planet at the right distance from that star to sustain life. So then we're down to 6 × 10²⁰ potential planets. And he kept on saying, you know, what if only 1 in 1,000,000 of those had, developed life? And then what if only 1 in 1,000,000 of those had developed life to a point of technological understanding where they were sufficiently able to, you know, send out, you know, a signal to outer space?
Yeah. Would that be a digital or radio signal, Bruce?
Any.
Okay.
So, but basically there was, this idea that even if you gave every one of these requirements only a 1 in 1,000,000 chance, we still ended up with something like 6 million potential civilizations on other planets rotating around other stars just in the Milky Way galaxy alone, without even thinking about the other, you know, galaxies. So,
you're saying it's a chance?
It's possible.
It's a remote? Yeah, but, you know, that could stir all sorts of religious issues.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. No. We don't want to say anything controversial.
No.
But speaking of Palestinians and Israelis,
yeah,
in the words Tim mentioned, the famous Australian musician came out with a theme song for Palestine and Israel to try and solve the conflicts.
Right,
and it was basically we don't eat pigs and you don't eat pigs. So why not let eat pigs together? Let's not eat pigs together. There we go.
Nice.
And when you succinct it down, that's fairly that's deep.
That's awesome.
That's deep. But either way, space stuff. It's just nice to look at.
It's big.
It's huge. Is it too big? Is it too small? Sex, all they ever think about. sorry, back in the Monty Python, if you remember,
Yeah.
And a friend of mine went to see them live in London the other week, the Lucky.
Wow.
Lucky, you know, I know. Flew from New Jersey to London just to see Python.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hater. Commitment.
Yeah. Hater. but that's it for me, my friend. That's about our podcast for the week.
Excellent. Yeah. All right.
Oh, doing another vintage shoot this weekend, another vintage Renaissance style photo shoot.
Oh, cool.
Post processing. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I went out to a secondhand / op shop the other day, and I bought this. It looks a bit like an urn, you know. And I'm sort of picking it up, and this old guy comes up and he goes, "Oh, yes. When I was pricing that this morning, he said I was pretty careful picking it up, just in case somebody's ashes fell out of it." And I thought, you know what? The exact thought crossed my mind too.
Nice.
Very funny. So I've been out buying a few more little props and stuff, and so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Good today to do something a bit creative once again. So it's good.
Excellent.
Well, that's it. Well, you have an absolute fabulous time on your trip.
Will do. And,
hopefully we can catch up somewhere on the journey.
Yeah, definitely.
And, when you're near my neck of the woods.
Yep.
And don't get flattened by anything, frankly.
I will endeavour not to.
Yeah. We'll never crack the top 10 photography podcast list if we don't keep recording them.
Yeah. That's right.
Actually, we might. It might go up in favour.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
All right. So just a reminder, yes, there will be no podcast for the following 2 weeks, but then there will be one the 3 weeks down the track.
Marvellous.
Well, you take care, and I will speak to you when I see you.
See you, mate. Take care.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzingpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shutterzingpodcast.com.